Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is October 28, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Chinese central bank official calls for commercial bank blockchain adoption. BA-backed firm raises $5 million to put airline security on a blockchain. Huobi Japan raises $4.6 million from Tokyo-listed financial services firm. Backed to launch crypto consumer app in first half of 2020. Sichuan should work to remain attractive to crypto mining, policy advisor. Bitcoin leads momentum as top cryptos trade below key price average. Top U.S. food co-op to track seafood using MasterCard's blockchain tech. Bitcoin's four-month bear trend intact even after 16% price rise. China wants Communist Party members to pledge loyalty on blockchain. Ghoulish NFTs will haunt the blockchain this Halloween. Hyperledger challenges Quorum for Enterprise Ethereum crown. China seizes the blockchain opportunity. How should the U.S. respond? From banking giants to tech darlings, China reveals over 500 enterprise blockchain projects. Now let's get started. Chinese central bank official calls for commercial bank blockchain adoption. The head of the technology department at the People's Bank of China, PBOC, has called for commercial banks to adopt blockchain technology in digital finance. As reported by Reuters, bank official Li Wei spoke Monday at a forum in Shanghai on commercial bank adoption. The central bank is already currently developing its own digital yuan that is expected to launch soon. The potential launch of the Facebook-led Libra cryptocurrency payments network prompted calls for the PBOC to accelerate work on the digital currency. Li Wei's comments come hard on the heels of Chinese President and General Secretary of the Communist Party Xi Jinping's call for widespread blockchain adoption in China on Friday. We must clarify the main direction, increase investment, focus on a number of key core technologies, and accelerate the development of blockchain technology and industrial innovation, Xi said at the time. Alongside a 16% leap in Bitcoin's price over the weekend, blockchain-related Chinese tech stocks jumped following Xi's comments. Bloomberg reports that the Shenzhen Information Technology Index jumped 5.3% Monday, with dozens of firms shooting past the daily 10% onshore limit. BA-backed firm raises $5 million to put airline security on a blockchain. Blockchain firm Xamna has raised $5 million in a seed funding round led by VC firms Local Globe and Oxford Capital for the continued development of its airport security system. Formerly known as VeChain Technology, Xamna's round was joined by International Airlines Group, IAG, the parent firm of British Airways. IAG is an existing investor and now a commercial client of the firm, as reported by TechCrunch on Monday. Seedcamp, the London Co-Investment Fund, LCIF, Telefonica and unnamed angel investors also participated. Founded in 2016, Xamna provides a blockchain bridge for siloed biometric and security information between airlines, governments and security firms. The tech requires no additional infrastructure developments through Xamna's blockchain, the firm claims. There is a preconception that when you arrive at the airport somehow as if by magic the airline knows who you are, the security agencies know who you are, and the governments of departure and destination both know who you are, Xamna co-founder and CEO Ira Ariella Key told TechCrunch. The reality is far from this. There is no easy and secure way for airlines and government agencies to share or cross-reference your data. Writing in a company blog, Local Global partner Remus Brett explained that Xamna's protocol can be implemented on other transportation networks as well, a factor that led to the firm investing in the company. Brett said, "There is no reason the technology cannot be extended to the rail and maritime industry or in fact any points of border control, or anywhere requiring individuals to assert their identity credentials." Huobi Japan raises $4.6 million from Tokyo-listed financial services firm. Huobi Japan has received almost 500 million yen, $4.6 million, in investment from a Tokyo-listed company involved in leasing, real estate, insurance brokerage and mergers and acquisitions. According to releases from the company and the investor, Financial Products Group (FPG) purchased 499,968,000 yen worth of shares from the Japanese subsidiary of Singapore Incorporated Huobi Asset Investments on October 25. FPG said it bought into the company because of its prospects, as Huobi Japan will be developing solutions related to virtual currencies and payments, and the two may plan to collaborate on projects related to tokenization of the securities market, given FPG's expertise in finance and real estate. The exact use of funds was not detailed, though the company said the new capital will be deployed in financing Huobi Japan's expansion in the country. It is not clear from the announcement what percentage of ownership the Japanese investment company will receive, though the disclosure did say that Huobi Japan's paid-up capital was $5.7 million, while the company's website puts total capital, including reserves, at $11 million as of February 2019. FPG has not yet responded to CoinDesk's inquiry seeking for clarification. Huobi was founded in 2013 in Beijing. Its exchange, Huobi Global, is ranked as the 15th largest exchange in the world by reported volume, according to CoinMarketCap data. The company also has the Huobi token, which is ranked 17th in terms of market capitalization. Huobi Japan was founded in 2016. In 2018, the company acquired BitTrade, a fully licensed crypto exchange in Japan. BitTrade's name was changed to Huobi Japan, and trading began in January 2019 in six virtual currencies XRP, BTC, ETH, BCH, LTC and Mona. Reuters reported in April that Huobi Japan was raided by the Financial Services Agency. The regulator was checking to see whether adequate compliance measures were in place following the change in management, according to the story. Bakkt to launch crypto consumer app in first half of 2020. Bakkt plans to launch a consumer-facing app to help retail customers transact with cryptocurrencies, the company announced Monday. In a blog post, Bakkt Chief Product Officer Mike Blandina wrote that the company was working on developing an app to let consumers use digital assets when purchasing goods from merchants. We'll be launching a consumer app to make it easy for consumers to discover and unlock the value of digital assets, as well as ways in which they can transact or track them. Merchants gain access to a broader set of customers with expanded spending power, Blandina wrote. He hinted that the app might support more than just Bitcoin, which is currently the only digital asset Bakkt and its parent company Intercontinental Exchange provide futures contracts for. A key feature of the model we've designed is to support a superset of digital assets, including cryptocurrencies as seamlessly as investors transact in stocks in a retail brokerage account, he wrote. Our vision is to provide a consumer platform for managing a digital asset portfolio, whether they wish to store, transact, trade or transfer their assets. When ICE first announced Bakkt in August 2018, the company said it was partnering with Starbucks and other companies to provide a retail experience, but few details of this part of the vision have been shared since. Monday's announcement said Starbucks will be Bakkt's first launch partner when the app goes live sometime in the first half of 2020. I have strong conviction that by driving more integration and efficiency across digital wallets, transaction processing and payment acceptance, there are meaningful opportunities for merchants and consumers to seamlessly interact using digital assets in ways that have not been previously considered, Blandina wrote, adding, "It is often said that digital assets will be successful when consumers don't have to think about the technology underlying them." Sichuan should work to remain attractive to crypto mining, policy advisor. China's Sichuan province, a major Bitcoin mining hub, should further study how to remain attractive to the crypto industry, according to a local politician. As reported by the local party mouthpiece Sichuan Daily on Monday, the Sichuan Decision-Making Consulting Committee, a government-backed think tank, hosted a meeting on Sunday to discuss topics around the province's future high-quality developments. During the meeting, Yang Zhang, a former vice chairman of the China Securities Regulatory Commission and now a member of the think tank, said the combination of Bitcoin, blockchain and excessive hydro energy in Sichuan should create more business opportunities in the region. The comment comes amid local authorities' continuous probe into Bitcoin mining sites in Sichuan that are allegedly built without appropriate procedure. Zhang added that currently 70% of all Bitcoin gets mined in Sichuan, as its ample and cheap hydropower has been historically attractive to Bitcoin miners. Although Zhang didn't explain the source of the 70% data, blockchain startup CoinShare estimated that, as of June this year, over half of the Bitcoin mining power is located in Sichuan. Blockchain can be involved in every industry. Its main application in the financial sector is digital currency, with Bitcoin as a key example. Zhang was quoted as telling the committee members, adding that Bitcoin mining requires cooling and computing, making it an energy-intense industry. As such, Zhang suggested to the think tank that Sichuan should dedicate efforts to further study how Sichuan's plentiful hydro energy can maintain its attractiveness to digital currency-related industries in an aim to explore new economic opportunity and growth force. Zhang is also currently a member of the China People's Political Consultative Conference, which is a central-level political legislative advisory body consisting of prominent figures in the political and business sector. Although Zhang's comment serves as a recommendation and will not necessarily lead to any policy change, it came just days after members of the committee hosted a seminar in Sichuan's capital Chengdu discussing how to better utilize excessive energy in Sichuan for digital economy while transforming Bitcoin mining into a more professional data center business. This is also not the first time that Zhang voiced support for the crypto mining industry. While serving as the vice chairman of the China's Securities Regulatory Commission, Zhang did a study and research tour to the office of Avalon Bitcoin miner maker Canaan and voiced support for the idea of Canaan going public in mainland China. Bitcoin leads momentum as top cryptos trade below key price average. Bitcoin, BTC, and Bitcoin SV, BSV, are the only cryptocurrencies within the top 10 by market capitalization to have jumped back above their long-term moving averages. The 200-day moving average, MA, is often regarded as a marker for bullish long-term health when prices are above and bearish long-term market health when prices reside below. Bitcoin's BTC 30% jump to 5-week highs from $7,393 to $10,350 over a 2-day period pulled prices back above the long-term moving average, marking a change in both momentum and sentiment for the world's premier crypto. Bitcoin SV, BSV, already led the charge a day earlier, closing above the 200-day MA on October 25. Still, those moves are yet to be reflected in the remaining top 10 cryptos as the bulls struggle for supremacy from the consistent 4-month downward slide that began towards the end of June, 2019. As seen above, BTC and BSV both managed to rise above the 200-day MA with conviction, leading to expectations for further appreciation in price as it heads toward the monthly close for October. Still, significant legwork for the remaining 8 cryptos out of the top 10 is required to convince traders of a major change in trend for altcoins, which could encourage further investment in projects such as Ether and XRP as optimism begins to build off China's positive pivot towards crypto. XRP, Ether, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash, EOS, Binance Coin and Stellar still reside beneath the 200-day MA despite gaining between 11.45% and 22% in a single period on October 26. The weekend move caught many traders off guard as BTC broke out on its third-best single-day price gain in its history, as noted by Yassine Elmandra. Still, more is required from buyers looking to drive alternative crypto's performances higher, which is currently mired by BTC's near 70% market dominance. Should the rest of the top 10 cryptocurrencies follow suit by rising above their respective 200-day moving averages, that would add credence to further price gains as the markets head toward the BTC halving event in May 2020. Confidence in BTC has been restored for now, but how long that will last and to what effect it has on the rest of the top 10 remains to be seen. Top U.S. food co-op to track seafood using MasterCard's blockchain tech. A food provenance platform utilizing blockchain technology from MasterCard is seeing real-world use by a U.S. food cooperative giant. Announced Sunday, Invisible, a firm providing visibility into food supply chains, said it is working with MasterCard to offer a tracking system built with the payment giant's blockchain-based provenance solution. Called Wholechain, the system has gained a notable early client for a pilot in the form of Topco Associates, the largest group purchasing organization in the U.S. aiming to bring more transparency to its products. Topco will integrate Wholechain at member grocery chains, starting with Food City, to track and provide data on salmon, cod and shrimp products. The technology will give members and customers a view into ethical sourcing and environmental compliance of the seafood on offer at stores, Invisible said. It will further allow grocers to hone in on issues in the food chain during unfortunate events like recalls, said Dan Glee, Executive Vice President of Merchandising and Marketing at Food City. Topco has close to 50 member owners, including supermarkets, wholesale distributors, and pharmacy companies that collectively turn over nearly $170 billion in sales, according to its website. Deborah Barta, Senior Vice President of Innovation and Startup Engagement at MasterCard, said, "The identity of things is becoming even more important as consumers raise demands for transparency. Our provenance solution leverages MasterCard's established network capabilities, globally scaled technology, and services, such as payments and counterfeit programs. This allows us to deliver trust, financial inclusion, and back-end efficiencies to the marketplace." MasterCard's provenance blockchain is not only aimed at the food industry. In August, the firm said it would demo the tracking solution during a showcase of women fashion designers. As well as offering customers insight into the route taken by the products on the way to the store shelf, MasterCard touted the tech as being a weapon in the fight against the rampant trade in fakes in the fashion industry. Bitcoin's four-month bear trend intact even after 16% price rise. View. Bitcoin remains trapped in a four-month falling channel despite registering double-digit gains last week. Prices could pull back to former resistance turn support of $8,800 in the next 24 hours. The bearish case would be invalidated above $9,730. A weekly close or two consecutive daily closes, UTC, above the falling channel hurdle at $9,730 are needed to confirm a resumption of the bull rally from April lows around $4,000. Bitcoin, BTC, eked out double-digit gains last week, but failed to invalidate a four-month bearish trend. The top cryptocurrency by market capitalization closed UTC at $9,557 on Sunday, representing a 16% gain from the weekly opening price of $8,237. That's the biggest weekly gain since the third week of June, when prices had rallied by 20.70%, according to Bitstamp data. The week's performance looks more impressive if we take into account the fact that prices had dropped to five-month lows below $7,300 on Wednesday. The breakdown, however, was reversed and prices surged by 42% to $10,350 on Friday, following Chinese President Xi Jinping's encouraging comments on blockchain adoption. The 16% gain seen last week is Bitcoin's ninth double-digit weekly rise of 2019. A 26.73% rally seen in the first week of April is the biggest weekly gain of 2019 so far. Back then, prices had jumped from $4,000 to $5,200, confirming a bullish breakout. The latest double-digit weekly gain, however, has failed to achieve the same, as seen in the chart below. Bitcoin invalidated a bearish lower high set up with a convincing move above the December 25 high of $4,236 in the first week of April. The bullish reversal confirmation paved the way for a solid rally to $13,880 by the end of June. Since then, the cryptocurrency has charted a series of lower highs and lower lows, as illustrated by the trend lines connecting the June and August highs and July and September lows. Prices jumped 16% last week, but failed to close above the upper edge of the four-month falling channel. With the bearish channel still valid, it's too early to call a resumption of the bull market. For that, the bulls need to close the week Sunday, UTC, above the channel resistance, currently at $9,730. Last week's price rise was backed by a surge in trading volumes to the highest level since July. Hence, a strong follow-through cannot be ruled out. That said, the short-term charts are calling a pullback to $8,800. At press time, BTC is changing hands at around $9,400 on Bitstamp, representing a 9.17% drop on a 24-hour basis. The long upper wick attached to Friday's and today's daily candle indicates buyer exhaustion above $10,000 and scope for a price pullback. The bearish divergence of the relative strength index on the 4-hour line chart above right also indicates buyer exhaustion. A bearish divergence occurs when an indicator forms lower highs, contradicting higher highs on price. As a result, a retest of $8,820, the former resistance turned support of October 11th high, could be in the offing in the next 24 hours. The bearish divergence would be invalidated if prices rise above $9,730. Failed bearish patterns are powerful bullish signals. Hence, a break above $9,730 would likely yield a quick move above $10,000. China wants Communist Party members to pledge loyalty on blockchain. China's Communist Party, CPC, is taking its leader's support for blockchain to heart. Following Xi Jinping's bombshell speech last week urging his countrymen to seize the opportunity created by the technology, the CPC released a decentralized app, DApp, for members to attest their loyalty on a blockchain. According to a post from the CCP's propaganda office on Saturday, the DApp, in literal translation called Original Intentions On-Chain, allows members to pledge their allegiance to the party and store it on a blockchain, which can be shared and seen by others. The term Original Intentions is a specific phrase mentioned by Xi during his remarks at the 19th National Congress of the CPC in 2017, after which it became a significant propaganda and educational campaign for party members to stay committed to their party. According to the post, the technology behind the DApp was developed by a Beijing-based company called Lingzhu Technology, which says it's a blockchain developer without much detail on its tech or the team behind it. The company's registration data shows it has received investment from state-owned capital tied to China's Tsinghua University and claims it has developed a blockchain called OV. In fact, this company issued a little-known cryptocurrency dubbed OF Coin and got it listed on exchanges like OKEX and CoinMEX early in 2018, months after China cracked down on initial coin offerings and fiat to crypto trading. OF Coin's price jumped by as much as 90% to $0.000326 on Saturday just hours after the CPC released the DApp and said that Lingzhu Technology is behind it. As of writing, the coin has fallen by 35% from that peak with just a few million dollars in daily trading volume. It's not clear if Lingzhu has conducted any public sale of the tokens. The listing profile on CoinMEX states that OF Coin planned a private token sale of 20% of its 51.2 billion OF Coin in January 2018 at a ratio of 300,000 OF Coin to 1 Ether, when the Ether price was about $1,000. The rally in OF Coin is just one ripple effect in China from Xi's speech. Primetime News. After the Xinhua news agency published Xi's comment Friday, Xinwen Lianbo, the country's most watched primetime daily news program on China Central Television, CCTV, devoted 5 minutes of its 30-minute broadcast to the remark. On Saturday, the People's Daily, an official mouthpiece, published a front-page article with Xi's comment on accelerating blockchain development. Though state-owned media focused on blockchain technology, the market took it as official endorsement for Bitcoin. Its price jumped more than 12% on Friday and surged to 5-week highs above $10,000, before falling back to above $9,000. So fervent was the market response, the CCTV cautioned viewers on Saturday to calm down and not take Xi's words as endorsement for all cryptocurrency. But the market surge continued anyway. Chinese crypto projects. There were other signs of increased blockchain and Bitcoin interest in China. Searches for the terms in Chinese on Baidu, the country's biggest search engine, jumped 200% on Saturday, before falling back on Sunday. Similarly, searches on WeChat, China's dominant mobile messaging platform, saw strong gains following the news on Friday, see image. And, as of writing, several major Chinese-born cryptos, including Qtum, VeChain, Ontology, NEO, Tron and Bitum, were enjoying strong gains on Monday, ranging from 25% to 90%. Stocks reboot. The ripple effect has gone beyond crypto, with traded stocks tied blockchain or cryptocurrency seeing even more significant growth. In the U.S., the price of Zunli, a cloud computing firm listed on NASDAQ, shot up by 107%. The Shenzhen-based company said it has developed a proprietary high-throughput distributed network based on blockchain technology. When the market opened in mainland China on Monday, the prices of more than 100 public companies that are somewhat tied blockchain in their business operations or product offerings, all grew by 10% on the day, the maximum allowed. In Hong Kong, stocks of blockchain-associated companies also saw a significant uptick. For example, Leap Holdings and Pantronics Holdings, the two shell companies bought by the founders of OKCoin and Huobi, both saw 50% plus jumps on Monday morning China time. Ghoulish NFTs will haunt the blockchain this Halloween. In crypto, where nothing is scarier than FOMO, there's no better time for an extremely limited release of non-fungible tokens, NFTs, than Halloween. Take decadent founder Olive Allen, for example. She's using October 31st to sell her first edition of 13 digital collectibles using a pop-up store on her website. 13 is a great number, she said. 13 has some spookiness in it. There will only be one NFT of each of the 13 tokens in the first edition, but other editions of the collection may come down the road. If the business model shows promise, Allen plans to do more digital pop-ups, and maybe physical ones, in the future. She said, "It's not going to be the last one. 13 items is the first series. I feel like I want to do a series of follow-ups. Like a Christmas one. I want to tie the items to a certain date or a certain occasion." Though Allen wouldn't reveal too much about what the NFTs would actually look like, she did show us the concept art for one. The CryptoKitties-inspired image rift on Batman's arch-nemesis, the Joker. Other NFTs will deal with things like net neutrality and decentralization. "There's this mix of current affairs and dark sensibility. And irony," she said. The shop will be open all day long when it's Halloween in New York City, with each NFT being awarded to its highest bidder. One NFT involves a collaboration with an artist she wouldn't name but that she said people would likely recognize. Spooky spaceships. This seasonal spirit of dread is not limited to Decadent alone. Several other blockchain startups are letting a spooky mood settle over their product this season. As Randy Soff, the CEO of LucidSight, told CoinDesk in an interview, "Halloween is a very fun holiday for video games." LucidSight has been making games for some time, only recently adding a crypto element to its work. The company runs a game over Steam called Crypto Space Commander. It's a grinding and crafting game where players mine the universe for resources and use them to make things or acquire resources for trade. Last year Lucid sold 3 ships with unique Halloween-themed skins via a descending price Dutch auction. The company sold a fixed number of each ship, for a total of 48 ships sold. The highest price fetched for any of them was 3.2 ETH, roughly $540 at today's prices, and the lowest was 0.18 ETH. Lucid will run a similar promotion this year, but there will also be ways to win themed ships. The event will be announced just before Halloween on the company's Discord channel. The art for 3 Halloween ships has already been released, but there could be as many as 6, Soff said. The company likes to experiment with different promotions. It previously brought licensed Star Trek ships to the game. Spooky Kitties. Meanwhile, CryptoKitties announced a very different sort of promotion. The game is giving users the recipe to breed a unique CryptoKitty. Remember, CryptoKitties didn't just introduce the idea of collectible items to crypto, the game also introduced a unique mechanic: players could breed two of their cats and create a new one. CryptoKitties create events where players have a shot at breeding a fancy for a limited time if they breed cats that have the right set of attributes. So this Halloween, the game's creator, Dapper Labs, floated a chance to breed Jack, a sort of headless horseman CryptoKitty. In fact, there was a chance to breed an extra rare shiny Jack. Unfortunately, someone had to do it by October 5th and no one who tried got a shiny Jack before time ran out. Now there will never be a shiny Jack CryptoKitty among the 721 Jacks that were created on the Ethereum blockchain. Maybe his ghost, though? Meanwhile, another fancy cat is available now, for Miami. Shall be possible to hatch until the end of Halloween in the United States. To have a shot at her, the cats involved need to share the attributes of Poisonberry, Spangled, Mallowflower and First Blush. The company has a few other rare kitties available for sale with Halloween themes, and at least one whole Halloween trait. Spooky Cuties. Finally, Blockchain Cuties has a whole series of adventures planned for Halloween. Starting last week, players started getting benefits for exploring, breeding, beating mini-bosses and playing along in groups. Last year the game released a set of NFTs called Bone Dragon Army. Several sets appear ready to go for this Halloween. Just remember, anything can happen out there on the blockchains this time of year. As Decadence Allen put it, Halloween is a great time for experimentation. And it's believed to be a magical time, isn't it? Hyperledger challenges Quorum for Enterprise Ethereum Crown. There's a seismic shift taking place in the enterprise blockchain space. It's called Bisou. A software client designed from scratch to connect businesses with the public Ethereum network, Bisou enjoys the support of Hyperledger, the Linux-like greenhouse for growing open-source blockchains. As such, Bisou has the clout to potentially eclipse all the other enterprise versions of Ethereum, including megabank JP Morgan's Quorum. On the face of it, there's plenty of kumbaya refrains being sung around the Ethereum campfire, with engineers at Quorum helping sponsor the inclusion of Bisou into Hyperledger. But scratch the surface and you'll find an interesting pattern of chop and change underway. Take, for instance, Ethereum stalwarts Adhara, an important application builder in the wholesale payments space, that recently flipped from using Quorum to Bisou. Adhara was behind Project Coca, which used Quorum to test zero-knowledge proofs with the South African Reserve Bank, SARB. Prior to that, Adhara co-founder Peter Munnings was also part of a consensus team that tested Quorum with the Monetary Authority of Singapore. Explaining the rationale behind the change of client, Munnings told CoinDesk, Bisou has very serious enterprise-grade support agreement which is easy to access. The Quorum team is very focused on JP Morgan projects, so we are not finding the same level of response from them. Support networks. It's probably fair to say that the popularity of Quorum caught the bank by surprise and there have been recurrent rumblings about JP Morgan spinning out the platform. On the question of project support, a source close to JP Morgan's Quorum engineering team said Adhara's decision to seek more help from Hyperledger was a fair point. But the source stated that there is a clear separation between the Quorum engineering team and the bank's use cases team, which looks after things like JPM Coin and the Interbank Information Network, IIN. Quorum has 20 engineers who engage and support developers on Slack, GitHub and through global meetups, the source added. By comparison, Pegasus, the engineering team linked to Consensus which built Bisou, has some 71 staffers, of which about 40 engineers are working on the core Bisou client and enterprise features. In addition, there's the support that comes with Hyperledger involving numerous channels to promote projects, meetups in every major city, and an annual global forum, next to be held in Phoenix in March, where Bisou is expected to play a starring role. The frisson around Bisou is spreading to other projects too. Consensus affiliate Kaleida is testing Bisou, which brings Quorum-based consortia like Congo within the ambit of Hyperledger, and similar shifts can be expected from other projects and teams within the Consensus stable. Also worth mentioning are LAC Chain, a consortium of institutions across Latin America and Caribbean attached to the Washington, D.C.-based Inter-American Development Bank, which ran a test net on Quorum, and Madrid-based startup EO Builders, which has one product running on Quorum and another running on Busuu. Faisal Khan, strategy and business development lead at Pegasus, told CoinDesk, "A lot of people have built pilots or are in production with Quorum and they are now doing POCs or tests of Busuu so that they can compare them. Holy grail. Busuu's overarching selling point," said Khan, "is its compatibility with the public Ethereum chain. Our holy grail is finding secure, scalable ways for enterprises to connect to mainnet, either running their own nodes or running private consortiums with some kind of bridge," he said. "So hopefully we will be releasing something on that in the next 3 or 4 months." Developers on the Quorum side would probably point out that the bank chose a fork of the mainnet Go Ethereum client, which has been running most of the network and had more adoption and testing than anything else. Another wrinkle concerns the slightly different versions of the Istanbul Byzantine Fault Tolerance (IBFT) consensus algorithm run by Quorum and Busuu, with the latter laying claim to a newer version, dubbed IBFT2. Munnings of Adhara, who has tested both versions, said the modified version is more stable, adding that IBFT2 is unfortunately not compatible at the moment with the Quorum implementation, but we are hoping that they will sort that out between them. In fact, there is an Enterprise Ethereum Alliance (EEA) working group called XBFT to address this that sports participants from Consensus, JP Morgan and Santander. Busuu might also enjoy favor from sections of the Ethereum community who are less than comfortable with a megabank like JP Morgan being the biggest player out of its enterprise implementations. Khan said JP Morgan Quorum has been a huge vote of confidence in Ethereum and made it front page news, but said of the discomfort, "I don't think it's particular to JP Morgan. I think you see a challenge in the blockchain industry when any one company starts a consortium." Summing it all up, Brian Behlendorf, executive director of Hyperledger, said the nature of competition between open source projects is different from that between proprietary platforms. Quorum's innovations will naturally flow into Busuu, he said, rather than simply duking it out for supremacy. However, Behlendorf added, "I think for any open-source project to mature and actually become an industry movement, it does need multiple companies providing support and eventually things like administrator certification or being able to certify vendors. Those are two things that we have now jumped into at Hyperledger." Behlendorf revealed that he would have pitched Quorum by now, but for the fact that one of Hyperledger's hard and fast requirements is that code has to be under an Apache software license. Quorum is intimately linked with the Go Ethereum client and falls under General Public License, GPL. "I respect that different people have different opinions about licenses, if that works for them then great. But that meant we couldn't pitch to Quorum, and I do think that is something they may have challenges with going forward." China seizes the blockchain opportunity. How should the U.S. respond? Michael J. Casey is CoinDesk's chief content officer and a senior advisor for blockchain research at MIT's Digital Currency Initiative. The following article originally appeared in CoinDesk Weekly, a custom-curated newsletter delivered every Sunday exclusively to our subscribers. The Chinese government is not in the habit of making speculative what-if announcements. Typically, before anything about its plans goes public, a significant amount of preparation and thought has gone into it. So, although Xi Jinping's passing statement about China needing to seize the opportunity posed by blockchain technology was thin on details, it's unwise to assume nothing will come of it. In fact, as CoinDesk's David Pan reported on Monday, there's already a massive amount of blockchain development going on in China. How should the US react to this? Definitely not with complacency. The news out of China affirms Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg's warning to Congress during last week's contentious testimony over his company's plans for the Libra cryptocurrency that the U.S. is at risk of falling behind the innovation curve. China is powering ahead, while the U.S. is bickering over a project that will be stalled in prototype testing phase for a long time and is throwing regulatory roadblocks in the way of countless other cryptocurrency ideas. There is some there. To be sure, many in the crypto community are dismissive of China's blockchain strategy. That's because it is most certainly based on a permission framework that implies significant centralization, with distributed ledgers managed by regulated trusted entities, if not directly controlled by the government, by consortia and other organizations subject to heavy oversight and Beijing's intervention threats. In that sense, China's blockchain architecture will likely be a long way from the decentralized, trustless principles upon which Bitcoin, Ethereum, and other public blockchains are based. An exasperated Nick Carter took to Twitter Friday to state why he thought Xi's blockchain reference was meaningless and why arguments attributing Bitcoin's massive rally to the Chinese leader's comments were, in his mind, bunk. But Xi's comments did amount to something. Just because China's approach to distributed ledgers falls short of the ideals of cryptocurrency and likely involves use cases that could be just as well managed with a SQL database doesn't mean we can walk away and ignore what's happening there. We must consider these moves in the context of other advances China is making in related fields. It is secretly developing a central bank digital currency, for one, and just passed a new cryptography law to enable the development of powerful new mathematical tools for managing information, potentially for the worse, if these tools are put in the hands of Beijing's surveillance apparatus. Integrating a stablecoin and future cryptographic tools such as zero-knowledge proofs, and other forms of homomorphic encryption such as MPC wallets into China's blockchain plus framework for related technologies could unlock efficiencies that give China's economy real competitive advantages. Perhaps it enables the smart contract-based approach to foreign exchange risk that I flagged last month. Or maybe it results in new compliance solutions for regulated entities such as banks to identify and onboard people and businesses. Or could it lead to more efficient Chinese customs procedures to speed up supply chains within China's multinational Belt and Road project? Response? All these could give China a competitive economic advantage. And the more it develops them, the deeper its learning and capabilities will become. Again, how should the U.S. respond? Ideally, it would embrace the kind of approach to technological development that China simply can't afford to take, the open, permissionless, decentralized one preferred by the crypto critics of closed, permissioned, centralized blockchain solutions. Permissionlessness, as it pertains to blockchain technology, means an open architecture in which anyone can use or develop applications on a designated protocol and that there are no centralized gatekeepers saying yay or nay to actors or transactions on the network. And while that spooks the hell out of U.S. financial regulators who are used to monitoring payments for anti-money laundering and illicit finance enforcement, it's more or less consistent with what long has been the U.S. stance on economic principles. It's part of a long tradition in U.S. economic thinking that sees economic outcomes as positive-sum phenomena, where the more transactional activity that's allowed, the more value and wealth is created. Sadly, openness is much less of an American economic priority now, mostly in the international sphere, but also domestically. The Trump administration's protectionist approach to trade marked by its brutal tariff war with China and the president's proclivity to reward or punish favorite industries and treat every negotiation as a winner-take-all art of the deal reflects the inward, closed mindset of zero-sum game thinking. Yet the U.S. has a long history of beating its foes by being more open than them. That's what the Cold War victory, largely engineered by a Republican president, Ronald Reagan, was all about. The same tradition continued under a Democrat administration during the post-Cold War era of Bill Clinton. Back then, amid a wave of free trade agreements and neoliberal reforms around the world, American diplomacy laid the foundation for the open internet. Having set the example of the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which forced the baby bells to accept competition, the U.S. used carrot and stick tactics to get other countries to follow suit. Creaking old government-owned telcos were privatized in developing countries, foreign competitors were allowed in, and investment flowed into the fiber optic cable and switching technologies that would let the internet grow. A new chance to open up. Those were the days. The question is, can they be relived? Well, the international to-and-fro that's defining the regulatory and technical framework for cryptocurrency and blockchain technology may offer an opening. If the goal here is to ensure that Western models of business and government outcompete the state-led business titans of China, then a move to promote an open, permissionless approach to this vital technology may be the way to pressure Beijing. China's closed system of government simply can't abide a permissionless structure over which it can have no control. But, in theory, the U.S., which its open innovation and competition model, can be more comfortable within it. It can take heart from the lesson of the 1990s, which was that open models of development will beat closed ones. The online world was won by the TCP/IP-founded open internet, not by closed-loop internet networks such as AOL and Francis Minitel. Ergo, an America that embraces permissionless innovation and open blockchain models has a chance to outcompete China. I am not holding my breath for such a policy stance in Washington, one that would mean removing roadblocks to Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, including Libra and other stablecoins. For one, even tacitly encouraging their adoption could ultimately entail abandoning the dollar as the world's reserve currency. Although that's the right thing to do, it's almost unfathomable as a policy decision. And secondly, as I mentioned, Donald Trump is a closed-loop, zero-sum game politician. He's already made his disdain for Bitcoin clear. But America is still a democracy. The political environment could change. Let's hope that whoever next leads it can see the opportunity to take on China with openness rather than tit-for-tat retribution. From banking giants to tech darlings, China reveals over 500 enterprise blockchain projects. The takeaway: more than 500 blockchain projects have been registered with the Chinese government since March. The filings reveal some of the largest Chinese banks and tech companies working with the technology. Several government offices, including courts and tax bureaus, are testing blockchain platforms to execute administrative tasks, the filings show. Chinese President Xi Jinping announced his support for blockchain technology, while Congress passed a cryptography law one day after Xi's comment. As President Xi Jinping called on his countrymen to seize opportunities in distributed ledger technology, China's industry heavyweights were already leading hundreds of enterprise blockchain projects. In total, the identities of 506 such projects have been published by the Cyberspace Administration of China, which, since January, has required every entity developing blockchain technologies to register their projects for further supervision. The information released so far is from two lists: 197 projects named in March and 309 in October, and offers a trove of insight into hundreds of enterprise blockchain projects under development in China. More lists could be published, but these large tranches already include some of the largest Chinese state-owned banks and commercial tech conglomerates, as well as the many government and public sector projects that define China's economy today. Many other potentially important developments were partially disguised by listing the projects under the names of related subsidiaries. In addition, there are many known blockchain projects absent from the two lists, but could likely be published in another installment. In total, CoinDesk is able to reveal thumbnail sketches of several enterprise blockchain projects that could change the landscape of the Chinese technology industry. Financial services, trade finance, asset management, cross-border payments and supply chain financing were the four most common use cases in the financial service industry projects included in the two lists. Six banks, including two major state-owned national banks and four local banks, have filed for 14 blockchain projects. Industrial and Commercial Bank of China (ICBC), the world's largest bank by assets, and Ping An Bank, the banking arm of Ping An Insurance, have registered two blockchain projects each. Ping An Bank disclosed a data analytics SaaS platform and a blockchain-driven voting and decision-making system. The bank became the first Chinese financial institution in the R3 Enterprise Blockchain Alliance in 2016, and has adopted a blockchain network called FIMAX to improve data sharing and privacy processes. Its goal was to increase efficiencies in asset-backed securities transactions, and tackle challenges in supply chain financing. UnionPay, the Chinese counterpart of Visa or MasterCard, filed two blockchain services, including a digital certificate application and a blockchain-based tracking platform for cross-border capital transfers. ICBC SHI Blockchain Service and ICBC Financial Services are blockchain projects to facilitate transactions for the bank's clients. ICBC partnered with China's central bank, the People's Bank of China, in 2017 to conduct research on blockchain technology, and launched its blockchain-based financing platform for small and medium-sized companies. While not on the list, two major banks had recently published much more detail on their blockchain projects, as reported earlier by CoinDesk. China Construction Bank, CCB, one of the four major Chinese commercial banks, is revamping its trade finance blockchain-based platform, as trading volume on the platform reached $53 billion. CCB's projects included facilitating financial transactions such as factoring and forfaiting, providing immediate cash for exporters in exchange for short-term receivables. Also, the Bank of China completed its first international money transfer to South Korea in dollars via its patented blockchain payment system last year. Baidu, Alibaba and Tencent. On the list is Baidu, the Chinese search engine giant, which released its blockchain white paper, detailing its patented XSuper chain that aims to provide foundational infrastructure for blockchain services. The company had also launched a decentralized application, or DApp, game called Let's Dog last August, similar to the internet sensation CryptoKitties. The project is registered through Baidu's blockchain subsidiary Douxiaomen on the October list. Another two Baidu projects were included in the March list, including Baidu Blockchain Engine providing cloud services and token that leverages blockchain to protect digital content intellectual property rights. Alibaba Group is in a perpetual race for number one against Baidu, Tencent and internet conglomerate Huawei for which of the four will develop the most advanced blockchain cloud services in China. Each company filed information about its blockchain cloud services, according to the registration data. All four of their blockchain white papers stressed the importance of developing blockchain-based cloud services as infrastructure providers for third parties. Alibaba has been especially active, topping another list the most patent applications focused on blockchain-related technologies with a total of 90 projects, surpassing IBM and Bank of America. Tencent, parent of messaging app WeChat, has been building a suite of blockchain services since their first white paper was released in 2017. On the list, the internet giant filed its registration for Tencent Blockchain and Tencent Cloud TBAAS Blockchain. The company's Trust SQL platform is designed as a three-part system with the core chain layer, a product and service layer, and an application layer to provide digital asset management and authentication. The company partnered with Intel to develop a blockchain for Internet of Things applications, while starting to test blockchain financial applications with the Bank of China in 2017. Government-led projects. The Chinese government, itself, was heavily involved in many of the large-scale projects registered on the lists, from communication backbones to innovations in legal and land development use cases. UnionPay, China's answer to Visa MasterCard, was mentioned on the list, with a cross-border payment project. This month, Chinese media reported the start of a test phase of a UnionPay project, partnered with five other institutions, including China Mobile and the State Information Center, to launch the Blockchain Services Network, BSN, a nationwide blockchain infrastructure project envisioned to be the Android or Apple's iOS system for the blockchain. Yifan He, the CEO of Beijing Red Date Tech, one of the six institutions, said at the announcement that BSN is already being tested at 55 cities in China, plus Singapore. The network claims to be more cost-effective than cloud services currently provided by Tencent, Huawei or Alibaba. There were also many examples that the government is directly using blockchain to provide services, from legal arbitration, tax collection to daily management of a compensation tracking platform for relocated farmers. The Beijing and Guangzhou Internet Court each registered their blockchain-based platform. The first internet court in China, and the world, opened in Hangzhou, in southern China, in 2017. These internet courts are already authorized to process certain internet-related cases such as online financing, online IP disputes and small loan contract disputes. The courts migrate every step of the legal process online, including prosecution, settlement, evidence presentation and verdict delivery. LegalX Chain registered three blockchain services that are based on LegalX Chain, Legal Fabric and the Hyperledger. The firm claimed to be a blockchain technology company designing projects specifically for the legal sector in China, according to its website. Another unique project is for a new city being built over swampland, 60 miles southwest of Beijing. As that city surpasses 21 million inhabitants, a decision was taken to build Shangan, meaning brave and peace, by purchasing land from local farmers. Those transactions will now all be made via blockchain to keep the transparent and organized. A recent Brookings Institute report said that $380 billion is going into the new city. One of the three projects on the list for the new city is called the Shangan Blockchain Land Compensation Distribution Platform, which would be responsible for distributing financial subsidies for relocated residents in the area. More blockchain services used for the government included blockchain electronic invoice, for the state administration of taxation Shenzhen branch, and cross-border transactions platform, for the state administration of foreign exchange. Everything else. Many more names and projects were identified on the list, although it was hard to completely identify all of them. Two more from well-known companies include one from video streaming company iQIYI China's answer to Netflix, which filed that it is using Baidu X Superchain Supernode to improve its streaming services. Another was from BGI, one of the largest life science and genomics companies in China, which registered BGI Blockchain Boss platform to conduct genetic analysis. A third company, with a very interesting use case, was from Jingda Porcelain, with a smart blockchain project to authenticate its porcelain products. The company is famous for their blue and white plates and vases. A fourth project was registered by the Shenzhen Charity Lottery Distribution Center, to verify winning tickets. And a fifth is an invoice processing platform on the blockchain from IDEA, a large consumer appliances manufacturer. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again PayCademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.